And a lot of times they're little things. Like, they're not major things. It's not like you have to go install a pool because somebody else has a pool.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's, you know, a lot of times people talk about these big amenities that make the difference. That's not what makes the difference. It's really staying on top of that property and maximizing what you have. What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore. I'm here with my main man, Mr. Dave Savulich, for our Whiskey Wednesday segment. So, guys, these are short, sweet, to-the-point episodes where we dive into a couple of the things going on in our world, some short-term rental hot topics, and then we dive into some questions that you guys send in. So if you want us to answer some questions on an upcoming episode, make sure you send them in, DM us on whatever platform you're watching or listening on, or send it in to support@odyssey.com. We'll make sure that Dave gets it on the agenda. So what do we have today, brother?
Well,
what are we talking about?
Last week, I had my shirt off about 10 minutes after the episode.
We were boning, huh?
And it's not going to happen today.
Yeah, no. You know what I mean? It's a little chillier in the mountains here in Utah, right?
We're back in the office. The last episode was there at Tampa, right on the water. That was awesome.
Jumping in the ocean was like 77 degrees already.
I know, it's crazy.
Oh, wow.
We don't get that in Utah.
No, we don't even get that in August, in the lakes here in August. If we break 70, we're happy.
Yeah. And we saw our old Ric Flair, you know,
in the airport, man. Yeah. Old nature boy, Ric Flair.
He was kind enough to get a picture with the cowboy.
Yeah. We got a little picture going. That was awesome. Huh?
That was cool. Yeah. We talked about that, you know, in his documentary and all that stuff. So it's cool just to get a picture with him.
In fact, I'd never seen the documentary. You told me you watched it after we saw him. I went home and watched it after we met him there. And I'm like, man, what a crazy story. Just a crazy life and story that he's had. Nuts. So it was fun to see him.
That was a good trip. So that was super fun. So, all right. So let's get into it. I got to just before we kind of get into the details and the dial into short-term rentals, let's if you could have anybody on a podcast, anybody, who would it be and why?
If I said I want one person on my podcast, it would probably be Alex Hormozi. I'm a huge fan of what he's doing. He's kind of exploded onto the business scene the last couple of years. He's got a contrarian viewpoint on a lot of different things, but I resonate with him because what we do in the short-term rental game is we really dial in the fundamentals.
Right.
We kind of ignore all the shiny object syndrome and, you know, all the new and, you know, not that we don't use some of the new technologies and stuff coming out, but we don't look at it as like the easy button and the solve all of our problems. I love his approach to business, which is just get after it, go to work. Right. When we always say, you know, nobody's coming to save us, that self-reliance, personal responsibility is that flag that we've like planted in the sand and that we want. He's like that. So I'd love to just sit down and have him, you know, talk to him about that. And I listen to a lot of his stuff. I'm a huge fan of his approach to business. I'm a huge fan of everything he's doing. I think he's one of the sharpest guys out there. Super young too. I mean, lots of experience, and he only speaks on things that he's done, which I appreciate. He doesn't talk about theoretical things or things that other people have done. He talks only about the experience that he's had, which I think is great, right? I think there's a lot of people in the business training world and all that stuff in our world, really any coaching space that people have had maybe 5 minutes of success and now all of a sudden they're an expert. I like that he takes a little bit of different approach to that. And so I resonate with him a lot. I would love to sit down across the table with him and, you know, and hash it out. I think that he's just one of those
super successful.
And one of those guys that does a really good job of not only articulating his viewpoint on things, but also doesn't try to conform to the norms. Right. And I don't feel like he tries to be contrarian to get views or to get clicks or anything else. Because there's people that do that, right?
They're just
like,
genuine.
I'm going to be so polarizing just to get the views. He's not that either. And so I really like his approach to things. I try to model and learn a lot from what he takes. And so, if I could have somebody on the podcast, that's who it would be.
I guess if anybody out there has any connections,
let's hook it up.
Can get Alex on our podcast, Sean's podcast, or Sean on his, let's do it, huh?
Love to run down that road. I think he's a stud.
All right, cool. I like that. So let's jump into a topic today. I want to talk a little bit about engagement in the short-term rental space. Meaning, I think a lot of times when people get a short-term rental, then maybe it's their first or it could be their fifth, or they could have a great portfolio. I think they sometimes forget about staying engaged in their business because, you know, it's almost kind of like, well, let's just turn it on and just let it do its thing. And we talk a lot about making sure that, hey, our members at Vodacy stay engaged in their business, understand the numbers, understand the guests, understand the experience, all those things that continue to make it and maximize their short-term rental over time. I think a lot of times people, you know, they set it, they forget about it, then they come back and say, well, boy, I'm really struggling, or man, I'm not doing as much as I'd like. And you ask them a few simple questions and they just don't know. They don't know who their guests are. They don't know what their experience is. The nightly going rate or occupancy is in their markets. And so I just think that's super important about making sure you audit and be engaged in your short-term rental.
Yeah, I think it's a critical point, especially to make, because there's, and I know that this isn't why you're making this point, but there's a lot of people out there because of my viewpoint of saying, hey, listen, I don't manage my own properties. I don't want this to turn into a second job. You know, this is something that I want as much as passive as possible. That does not, I think that a lot of times is taken, and a lot of people will point fingers saying, hey, this is, you can't just set it and forget it. And if you do, you're going to struggle, which is true. It's what you're saying. That's not what I'm saying when I say that. I say, I'm going to focus on the levers that I can pull that are the biggest needle movers, which is, what is the earning potential of this property? How often do I audit my property? How often do I look at the numbers? Every single month, right? I want to know what the market's doing. That doesn't take me that much time though. Managing a property takes, contrary to popular opinion, that is not a laptop lifestyle, like I'm going to work 4 hours a week on my property and everything's going to be fine. That's not the case either. I mean, maybe it is if you have one check-in or check-out, but you've got to communicate with guests on a regular basis. Right. And so if you have a property, maybe you can do it in 2-3 hours a week. Yeah. If you have a really good property and you're managing your own property, it's a second job, period. It doesn't matter how many great tools you have, communication, you can't automate everything. You can't automate when the guest asks, how do I turn on the remote with the, you know, I can't figure out the TV remote. I can't figure out the fan remote.
Yeah, you got to solve those problems.
You're not automate that? No, you're not. You're going to deal with it. So you are a concierge, 24/7 concierge, especially if you have a high producing property. My point is, I don't want to do all that stuff. I'm going to hire that stuff out. I'm going to pay for that, right? I'm going to make sure I have a good 24/7 concierge because that's not me. I'm not going to do that on my properties. However, staying engaged, staying active, I do pay attention to what is my earning potential? What is the market doing? What are the levers I can pull on the guest experience? How can I articulate that? What can I do to stand out in the crowd? So that, because those are things that management partners aren't very good at doing. Those are things that I have to make sure I do as an owner. And it is one of those games where if you want to set it and forget a property, go buy a long-term rental in the middle of the suburbs. You get your yearly rent, and once in a while you have to deal with changing, you know, a clogged up toilet or a pipe breaking or something else. But those are few and far between as well. Like the long-term rental game gets a bad rap from that standpoint too. Like that happens all the time. It doesn't happen all the time. Happens once in a while. Happens about as often as parties happen in our properties.
Yeah.
They get talked about, but they don't happen that often. That is a more set it and forget it asset class. The asset class that we're in, short-term rentals, have a higher earning potential if you are active. If you're not, and you don't stay on top of those things and audit on a regular basis, if you're not willing to spend, 3 to 5 hours at the end of every month and do that kind of thing on your property or your portfolio, you might struggle a little bit more.
Well, and we teach, you know, especially in the beginning stages, that acquisition phase is so important. Using the right tools, having a data analysis worksheet and some of those things that really help you understand, hey, does this property have potential? We want to use those throughout the year to continue to keep looking at, because things change in the market. You know, new events come to town, occupancy changes, pricing, you just got to stay on top of it so that you can maximize it for sure.
Supply changes, right?
Yep.
Your competition changes. And so, and a lot of times they're little things, like they're not major things. It's not like you have to go install a pool because somebody else has a pool a lot of times people talk about these big amenities that make the difference. That's not what makes the difference. Yep. It's really staying on top of that property and maximizing what you have and maximizing it to its potential. When I ask somebody, how are you doing? First of all, most of them don't even know. It's crazy to me that you run a business, you own a property, and you don't even know your performance, right? You don't even know really what your performance is. And then I say, what's the earning potential? The eyes glass over, they're like, I don't know. they don't know. And that's the part that, like what you're talking about, people look at underwriting and everything else. First, they should know that in their underwriting instead of just a number, right? Well, this software tool told me I can make $80,000 a year and I'm not making that. Well, what's the actual earning potential, right? What is the range in your market for a 3-bed in the area you're at? Is it from 50 to 90? Is it from, you know, 30 to 60? Like, where are you at, right? And where are you at on that sliding scale? Are you underperforming to the market? Are you on the top side of the market? Most people don't know that. And those are things you have to look at on a regular basis. We work with a lot of business owners. And that's a concept that a lot of business owners are able to latch onto, because business owners are looking at P&Ls at the end of every month, right? They're looking to say, how is my business doing? You know, did I make money this month? Did I lose money? What are some of the things that caused me to make money or lose money? And can I add fuel to the fire of the things that worked and then cut out some of the things that didn't? Those are the same things we do on our short-term rentals, right? And so we just do them and we have a very specific process on auditing properties. Like you just mentioned, most people look at the numbers when they buy a property and then they forget about it. And they don't do it. I'm like, that's a huge mistake, because when you bought a property 3 years ago, those numbers looked a lot different. They change on a monthly basis, and usually for the better, right?
Right.
There's more money being spent in the market.
There's more opportunities for them.
More opportunity for you to get more. So let's say you were in the middle of the market when you bought and you kind of stay there. You're probably at the bottom of the market a year or two later, and you don't realize that you're actually at the bottom of the market, or you were at the top of the market and now you're at the middle of the market. And so, you know, wherever focus goes, action flows, right? So when you focus on those things, you're going to pull the right levers to stay and continue to raise the bar in your properties.
Well, and I think one good example, it's super simple. And so you're just like, wow, but it's super important. Is like, I know a lot of members you will talk to on the phone and you kind of dive in and they'll wonder why they're not getting bookings. And then come to find out they have a 7-day, a night minimum to stay. And there's a lot of people that don't want to stay a whole week. Now, it depends on the market and depends on the season, all this stuff, but you ask them and they're like, oh, I didn't even know that was there.
Exactly.
So that's a really good example of like, hey, know your business. Like, we have a 3-night minimum. Okay, that's great. And we're going to get more bookings. When they don't know what their nightly minimum is set, that's a big deal. And that's just part of auditing their property.
Yeah, and it always is something simple, right? There's a whole bunch of little things that make a big difference.
Right.
Like I always say, there's not, Alex Hormozi says this, there's not one silver bullet, there's 100 golden BBs,
right?
And so, you know, that's where I got that.
I know, I love that saying, by the way.
But it's so true, right? There's not, and everybody wants that one silver bullet.
Right.
And sometimes you're like, hey, well, like we were auditing one of our members' properties and it was doing really, really well in the peak season last summer. And all of a sudden the shoulder season over the winter and the spring is like, man, I've just fallen off the radar. And we're looking at it. And I said, immediately, right when we saw it, cause it's got, he does a great job with his photos. He does a great job of setting a great experience. The property is beautifully designed. And all of a sudden he's not getting bookings. He's like, what's going on? The market's killing me. It's so saturated. We looked at it and he left the 7-day minimums on that he had during the peak season that works in the peak season. Yes. It doesn't work in the shoulder season.
Right,
and I'm
exactly.
like, take it off. Immediately,
he got five bookings.
Yeah. I mean, in a week. And I'm like, and it's one little thing that and it's because he's not looking at all the little things.
All
and we all
time.
Look at the big thing and then we forget about all the little things like a nightly minimum, for example.
All right. Well, I love that. That's great. It's good advice. And it's good to kind of stay on top of it, be engaged and audit your properties
Absolutely.
All the time.
This is an active, you should be actively involved in your portfolio.
Right.
It doesn't mean when you mentioned that staying engaged and actively involved, I'm not,
I don't mean
you have to manage your properties.
Like
I don't manage
job.
My properties, but I know exactly how my properties perform every single month.
There is one thing that can make or break your success with short-term rentals, and that's your ability to provide your guests with an amazing night's rest. We're taking all of the guesswork out of selecting the perfect mattress system. Personally, I have these custom mattresses in every one of my short-term rentals. We love them so much that we even got them in our own personal homes here in Utah. So visit VodiceySleepSystem.com and use the promo code PODCAST. It's all caps at checkout to get 55% off.
Graham, one of our Vodicey members, great guy, super engaged in his properties, sent me an email and said, hey, if you're looking for some Whiskey Wednesday questions or some ideas, I got some. I'm like, great, let's do it. So he has two questions, and they're kind of one piggybacks onto the other. So the first is, how do you define the top of a market? So what does that mean when we talk about, hey, let's be at the top of the market? What does that mean for a property? And the second is, what are the qualifiers that make you top property in that market?
It's a great question because every market has an absolute top, right? You're going to have the number one revenue property in the market overall. Tampa Bay, we were just in Tampa, Waterside Gardens, it's going to be the number one overall property in the market, right? That means right. the total revenue. I'm defining it by revenue brought in. There were other markets. My Cherry Log property, we're the number one property in our market for the three bedroom properties. Right. I'm not the number one overall property in the market right. because there's 7, 8, 9 bedroom properties that make more money than I do, right. right? Usually your number one overall property is going to be the larger properties in the best proximity and like setups, right? That, those are the things that, and we'll talk about what makes a top property. But the way I define the top property, if I have a one bedroom in a market that there's 8, 9, 10 bedroom properties, you're not going to be the number one overall, right? But right. you should be number one in your market. So the way we define the top property in the market is that overall, the total revenue, the top line revenue based on the property type that we're competing against, yeah. which yeah. is going to be the bedroom count. I usually don't get really more granular than that. Like there's a lot of people who are like, hey, I'm the number one property in my market for 2 bedrooms, 2.5 bathrooms that sleep 12, right? Yeah. And then there's yeah. they're competing against 8 people. Well, that's not that hard to do. You don't want to get more granular typically than right. the bedrooms, right? You want to compete against the other 3 bedrooms or 4 yeah. bedroom, whatever yeah. else, right?
And now does that also include luxury versus mid versus low yeah. end type thing in those categories.
Those are just the tiers, right? Yep. The top is going to be the top revenue line, which is going to fall into the luxury category. Yep. When you're talking about that, those price tiers, for those that are listening that aren't familiar with that, that's a tool called AirDNA that we use, and which is a very popular data tool that a lot of people use. And they segment out the pricing based on, like, they'll say, okay, this market has a price tier of from $500 to $1,000 a night, right? And so everything at $500 and they just segment it in 20% increments. $500 properties are going to be the budget. $600 properties are going to be economy. $750 properties are going to be the mid-scale, whatever. $800 properties, like you're just segmenting it, right? Are going to be, so, and that's just based on what people are paying right now. But for us, we're defining and saying, okay, if I want to operate the top of the market on the revenue side. And we usually define the top of the market as the top 20%, right? You don't have to be number one to make money. You don't have to be in the top 10% even to make money. Top 20% makes the majority of the money in these markets. That's why we say we want to operate at the top of the market, but it's based on you have to look at the revenue potential and the top of the market and the property type that you're buying or that you own, right? Not just, I can't have a 2-bedroom property and go down to, you know, Orlando market and then say, I could have the top 2-bedroom property that might make $200,000 a year,
right?
But the top properties are making 7 or 8.
Exactly.
And beat yourself up and say, I need to get there. No, that's not the case. You're making a lot of money if you're the top 2-bedroom because your acquisition cost on that 2-bedroom was a hell of a lot different than the 12-bedroom.
Yeah, exactly. Right? No, that's good. That's perfect.
So the second part of the question is, how do I do it?
Yeah.
What are the things that we look at? What are the levers we pull, right? So the property, you have to remember what we're selling. We're selling the experience. So the experience is going to be a combination of a lot of things, right? One, it's proximity to the major profit drivers. How close are you to the things that people are coming in for, right? So proximity to the house is important, and you can't ignore proximity, right? If you're in a beach community, you can't be 50 minutes from the beach and say, hey,
trying to compete against
the ones that are on the beach, right? Yep. So proximity is a big deal. You have to be realistic about proximity. Proximity doesn't mean you have to be, again, beachfront in a beach community, though. There's going to be a fall off when you're doing your underwriting. It might be 1 row back. It might be 2 rows back. It might be 3 rows back. Every community is different. So we have to look, how far away am I from the major profit drivers, the amenities? If you're in like a more of an adventure type of area with hiking and national parks, state parks, you can be a little bit further away, right? You can be 20, 30, 40 minutes away from some of that stuff. A 20-minute drive to go to some of the major hikes is not that big of a deal. A 20-minute drive to go to the beach is a bigger deal.
Right.
If you're in a ski community in the wintertime and you're 45 minutes away, nobody wants to drive in the mountains in snow for 45 minutes. Right. And so you need to be closer. There's not a set like, okay, I have to be this far away from the major amenities. You have to understand the market. So proximity is a big deal. Amenities in the house. Like, what does the house actually offer? What does the house have to offer as far as experience? Does it have the hot tubs, the pools, the game rooms, some of those things? You have to look at that, right? Some markets, that's important. Some markets, it's not as important. So as you're underwriting that, and then what are we doing to create this congruent design to basically, like, we have to design these properties so that somebody doesn't walk in and it's just like their home away from home, That's not what we want on vacation. Yeah. We want something like fun and different and exciting and bringing all of those outside attractions into the house with, you know, we do custom artwork all the time and we create these unique spaces that create these great experiences. Anything you can do to enhance the guest experience, a lot of that is proximity. Some of that is actually the experience is the house, right? There are some houses that are just these amazing resort style backyards, right? That's a big part of the experience. And people in those properties, many of them don't leave, right? They're staying there, being on the water. That's part of the experience. If you're not on that, you have to say, okay, am I going to be able to operate toward the top of the market? But it's, again, it's a stack of a whole bunch of different things. Being able to say, okay, can I, can, like, the other thing that we always do is you want to, success leaves clues, right? What is the top of the market offering?
What are they
like,
doing?
What are they offering? Are they all in a certain proximity? Sometimes, sometimes the proximity is obvious. Sometimes it's not so obvious. And so you have to realize, like, when we went, we just visited, or I went down and looked at a property on the Bourbon Trail. The property I was looking at, right when I got there, my initial reaction was, holy crap, I'm about 25, 30 minutes from a lot of the distilleries. And then I realized as I started to learn about the area that that's pretty common. The Bourbon Trail is this triangle area. And to, I mean, it's the
not
distilleries
like you're right
are fairly spread out.
Them.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and so I was like, you know, we're on Main Street and we're still 25 minutes away from some of these distilleries. Right. Yeah. And I started doing the research on the area. I'm like, okay, most of the properties you want to kind of be centrally located. So we're 25, 30 minutes from all of them instead of on one side where you're an hour from some of them and 5 minutes from the others because they're fairly spread out. And so every area is a little bit different, but proximity is a big one. The amenities that the property has is a big one. And then how you're able to bring it all together, right? It's got to be very congruent. It's got to feel like, hey, I actually care. I actually put this together. I didn't just go to a yard sale and get whatever I could furniture-wise, right? There's a lot of things that have to go into creating this experience. And then to be able to articulate it, right? You really have to understand marketing in this game. And that's where a lot of people fall short. One of the biggest levers you can pull is how are you going to articulate everything you have to offer to the marketplace? It's not the game of, hey, if you build it, they will come. There's a lot of really good properties and really good areas that you're competing against. And if they do a better job of articulating what they have to offer, they're going to get the bookings and you're not. And the good news about that is very few people ever get to that point and pay attention to that phase of the game. And so you can take fairly average properties and actually operate toward the top by understanding the marketing on the back end. And very, very, very few people understand marketing on the back end of this game. You know, we look outside of, I just mentioned Alex Hormozia, I'm involved in a lot of different business masterminds, and we take a lot of the marketing and trainings and concepts from outside of our world, because it's not as common in our world, and try to bring them in and into our world, into our properties. And it's working really, really well to help us pull a major lever on the back end and articulate what we have to offer even better than what other people with better properties have.
Right.
And we're able to get our unfair share of business that way. And that is another big needle mover on being able to operate toward the top of those markets. And again, top of the market defined for us is the top 20% of the market.
Good. No, that's great. Great detail. Graham, thanks for the question. I think hopefully we answered that. If not, send me an email and we'll get you more detail, buddy.
We'll get squared away.
Yeah.
If you have questions, make sure that you DM us on the platforms you're watching, listening on, and we'll make sure that we answer them on an upcoming episode. And those final two favors that I always ask you at the end of every episode is, the first one is, if you like this and you know somebody else who would like these conversations in the short-term rental world, we don't have a bunch of sponsors run ads on these property or on these shows. So the only way for us to spread the message is for you guys to share the show. And so if you wouldn't mind doing that and bringing some other people into our world and into these conversations so they can walk into the short-term rental game with their eyes wide open, we very much appreciate it. If you have more than 30 seconds, like, review the show on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. Those things do help us as well. And the final and most important thing that I always ask you at the end of every episode is, go pick that one thing you can do today. Start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Cheers, buddy.